Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to The Love Code. Thank you for joining me because this is a wonderful opportunity to be inspired, uplifted, transformed, and healed. That's really the purpose of the show, and through my inspiring guests, we share so many uplifting stories and practices that you can put into your life. So I am thrilled that you're spending another hour because I have a fantastic conversation in store for you today. I do want to invite you, if you are new to the show, to please go to my website, which is Dr. Cheryl Selman, because if you opt in there, I get to send these shows out to you right to your inbox, so you don't have to miss a single show. And while you are opting in, hop over to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, and like me there, because that's the other program I present on Progressive Radio Network. It's called What Women Must Know every Thursday at 4 p.m. So once you opt in to Dr. Cheryl Selman, you will get both of my shows, and aren't you lucky, because I have such great guests that keep you inspired and uplifted and transformed. So that is what it's all about these days. And speaking of getting uplifted and transformed, I am thrilled to have as my guest today, we're going to be exploring soul healing miracles with Dr. Peter Hudoba. So let me just say something about my guest. So Dr. Hudoba is a distinguished neurosurgeon and specialist in pain management and non-surgical spine care. He received his medical degree from University in Czechoslovakia in 1982 and practiced as a neurology resident there at the University of Komenesko. Hope I say that right. And Dr. Hudoba relocated to Canada in the late 1980s and performed pioneering research at McMaster's University in neuroscience. Dr. Hudoba then went on to practice at a neurosurgery resident at the University of Toronto before joining Royal University Hospital of Saskatchewan as a full staff neurosurgeon consultant. During this time period, he also taught at the University of Saskatchewan as a professor and served as head of neurological postgraduate programs there from 1999 to 2000. During this time at the university, he established the Spine Rounds program. Dr. Hudoba has received many awards, including Excellence in Teaching Award from the University of Saskatchewan and Thomas P. Morley Neurosurgical Resident Prize from the University of Toronto. Dr. Hudoba has presented at many professional educational conferences in Canada, the United States, the UK, India, and other venues. He retired as an active neurosurgeon in 2001 to devote more time to his research on alternative healing methods. He has worked with the Shaw Research Foundation for the past 15 years and is currently the lead researcher. During this time, he has been active with community and volunteer activities and currently is the leading teacher at the Soul Mind Body Healing Center in Vancouver, British Columbia. And he is the author of My Soul Enlightenment Journey with Master Shaw, and is which is a model of transformation for any spiritual being. Dr. Hudoba is a lineage holder of one of the oldest Taoist traditions in the world. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Dr. Peter Hudoba to the show today. And in respect to Dr. Hudoba and the lineage that he holds, I'm actually going to honor him, refer to him as he is commonly referred to as Master Peter. So, Master Peter, hello and welcome to the show today.
Hello. I'm so happy to be with you today.
Oh, yes. It's wonderful to have you. You know, you have such an interesting history, and I just wanted to ask you a little bit about your journey, because you were living in Czechoslovakia at a time when it was really behind the Iron Curtain, and yet you had a calling, and you had to find the ways to really let that deep, deep, deep calling of your soul to be realized. Can you share a little bit about that time with us?
Oh, yes, I would be delighted. It started when I was 10 years old. Prior to that, when I was a little boy, I would visit my grandfather occasionally in village, and then when nobody knew, he took me to the church. In the city, it was not possible because, you know, my father's situation, my mother, it would not be good. But grandpa, he didn't care anymore. He was retired. So I got some basic spirituality exposure there. I was secretly baptized. But then when I was 10 years old, I had my first mystical experience of profound stillness. It was in the winter. I was reading the book, and suddenly incredible peace happened. Total standstill. It was like I went into a Zen state. And so many times I tried to restore that, but I couldn't. And so then somehow I was drawn to judo, and there our coach, he was teaching us basic meditation. And I realized that this is probably the way to try that, to try it and return that special state of total happiness, total peace, complete empty mind, like everything was in standstill. And I wanted to have that again, that state. I didn't know what it is. There were no teachers otherwise. The religion was basically prohibited. It was in very, it was different style of life, let's put it that way. And so there was not much left, but I succeeded to bring the books. The books just came to me, you know, they were smuggled from outside. I even had a book sent to me from a Library of Congress of the United States. And my father was very upset when that envelope came with a big logo of Congress, United States. That's not an envelope you want to receive when you are behind Iron Curtain. But nothing happened. You know, they sent me actually a copy of the whole book, the Taoist book. That's how I was practicing. When I came to Canada, already, you know, so many books available. I went to library and I started to study Tai Chi Chuan, Qigong, and eventually I met Master Sha. And so that quest was amazing. But I persevered, and I finally found my teacher. And then I stopped practicing medicine like a do-it-yourself style. Not medicine, the meditations and the spirituality, but I finally had a wonderful teacher who could guide me.
So you had this awakening when you were 10 years old that really began that yearning, that it was like a light was switched on for your soul. I mean, a 10-year-old boy, that's quite extraordinary to have such a profound experience. I mean, maybe more 10-year-olds have those experiences. We just don't know because no one tends to talk about that. You know, it's such a deep transformational experience. We often don't have words, but it set you on a course, it seems to me. Like once you had that awakening, that fire was in your soul, and it was the beginning of a journey.
Yes, definitely. You know, it is actually amazing that I was given to taste it right away. It was not something my parents would bring me to. I never knew that actually this inner peace, inner, like a profound stillness, that's what the Christian monks also wants to achieve. I had absolutely no idea. I thought it is possible to achieve it only through meditation in Buddhist monasteries or Taoist practices. I had no idea that it exists somewhere else. But that was a path I was somehow guided. And it worked for me. Now I practice different things, you know. I absolutely no distinguish between anything. I pray a Christian songs, I sing Christian songs, I do Buddhist songs, I do Taoist practices. It really makes no difference now for me.
So you are one of the master teachers that who is a part of the Master Shah centers, organization, research centers. You have achieved quite a profound level of awareness, and also as a healer in this journey, as well as having the experience as being a respected neurosurgeon with a scientific background. Can you share with us how you met Master Shah, and maybe just a little bit about Master Shah for people who know nothing about Dr. Master Shah? Perhaps you can say a little bit about who he is and how you found each other.
Okay, so that's a wonderful story. How can I explain it? I came to Canada. I was in just end of my 20s, beginning of 30s, and I had a big dream. I wanted to be a professor of neurosurgery. When I was 13 years old, I was working in my workshop, and I heard the story of Dr. Cooper. He was a professor of neurosurgery in New York. And Dr. Cooper started absolutely incredible work. He was putting the probes in the brain and was freezing the part of the brain and make people who had Parkinsonism and shaky hands, he was able to stop the shaking. And then he would put the wires in the brain and put the electrodes, you know, electricity, and the shaking of the hand stopped. Wow, that was my second dream. And I wanted to become what Dr. Cooper was, a neurosurgeon who can do that. And so I came to America, and I did actually research in McMaster on the origin of patients who Dr. Cooper operated. I couldn't believe the luck. Several of the patients were from Canada. They still lived, and then I did the research on them. That was no coincidence. Totally amazing. Then I went on neurosurgery, and I fulfilled my dream. I became professor, and I had this American dream. I had more than American dream, because I was a little boy from the middle of Europe, behind the Iron Curtain. I heard about this big professor in New York, and something lit in my heart. This is what I want. And, you know, to escape through Iron Curtain and get to America and become professor and do the same surgeries you dream about as a little boy, what more do you want? Yes? So I had a wonderful career. I was well respected. I had a house. We bought our first home. I had a son. So my son was born. I had a wonderful wife. We bought a dog. I had a car. So, you know, for somebody who comes to America, I had a case, two towels, jeans, and big hope. And I made it. America gave me my dream of life. And when I got the dream, I found out it's not it. Huh. I found out this is actually not what I wanted. I wanted it, but the second part of myself, the longing for the connection with God, the longing to connection with Tao, that inner peace, inner joy, the bliss, that is more to me than this professorship. That to be a big guy in the big university and be powerful and well known, making these huge surgeries, that was nothing. that the feeling which I want, that connection to God, connection to Tao, that meant suddenly much more for me. I realized that achievement on the social level can take your happiness only so much, to some degree. But then I knew there is much more beyond that. So, at the peak of my career, I was just going to be tenured. I decided I want that feelings again. I want that enlightenment. I want that peace in my mind, total emptiness, that profound bliss. I need a teacher to help me, because I was meditating that time already many years, yes, 40 years, but I still couldn't make it happen the way I wanted. So I decided to find a teacher, and soon we were put together. So I heard of Master Shah, I gave him a call, we arranged a meeting, and I went to see him to San Francisco, and the incredible journey started for both of us together. And so
was that an instant recognition, Master Peter, when you had that meeting with him, that this was your teacher?
Well, I already knew before. You know, in my life, big part of my success was that I was following guidance from the I Ching. I Ching is an oracle book, Taoist oracle book from China. And I was using that. And for everything to guide me regarding spirituality. And so when I heard of Master Shah, I, of course, went to check with I Ching, and the guidance I got finally after years. You know, I met many different people who could be my teacher. Nobody was ever approved. This one was right on. This is the best master you can find. So when I was going to see him, I knew already he's my destined teacher. When we met, it was like a miracle. It just totally blew me off. And I knew he's the one. Yeah.
Well, what a powerful moment. You know, something that you've been yearning for and seeking. And all of a sudden, that moment happens. You know, it's like there's a part of... You know, it is mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yes. You know, we went to meditate right on. We met, we talked a little bit, and so he asked what I want. I said that there is this, like, an evil force hitting me in the life from time to time. And he said, no, that's not an evil force. That's your karma coming back to you. And so what I should do about it? And he gave me guidance. You do this. So let's meditate. Okay, let's meditate. My second meditation with him, I went to universe. I suddenly was out. I'm looking around. There are stars around me. Oh, here is sun. Here is moon. I look down. There is a earth. I was out. I was in the universe. It is called the universal consciousness. So then, let's go back. So I went back, returned. And I knew description of this, because in sutras it is described. This takes many years to achieve living in monastery, and I had it in my first hour with Master Shah. So I knew, wow, this is a very special man.
And it really changed the destiny of your life.
Yes, yes, you are absolutely right. I say something about Master Shah. When I met him, he was just on the verge of, like, taking the rocket ship to the heaven. He was a time healer. He did meditate, but he was not well known for that part rather than for the healing part. He was an acupuncturist trained. He was a medical doctor like me in China. He was also a TCM doctor in China, in Canada. He was licensed in BC as a TCM practitioner. And so he was doing these things. You know, he is an expert in the herbs, expert in Qigong, and expert in Tai Chi Chuan. He's just covered the whole spectrum, all the things I wanted to learn. And then he knew how to meditate, and he started to teach meditation more. So when we met, he realized also that his greatest potential is not just acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine, but that he can offer healing by his power, that he can bring the energy, that he can bring the light from heaven and offer healing to someone. And that was something that both of us, we found our common passion, both in the healing and in the enlightenment techniques. So that was just, for me, it was like a coming to the new universe.
I'm sure, you know, it was such a culmination of your, you know, deep desire that was ignited when you were 10 years old, and finally in your life you've met this incredible teacher. And Master Sha is truly a grand master, as you were saying, of many skills, but most, I think, most profound is his tremendous connection, his divine connection, to bring through wisdom and knowledge and teachings and power that is directed towards sharing what he's learning and empowering his students, but also healing and teaching his students how to access and be a channel for this healing, because it's something that I've just started doing, having just finished a program with the teachings of Master Sha, which is known as the Tao Hands. And it kind of gives me a taste, Master Peter, of that tremendous gift we're given through this connection with Master Sha, to open ourselves up and to be of greater service in the world.
Yes, you are absolutely right. This is the one of the key things which Master Sha can offer. There are many teachers who teach meditation. There are many teachers who teach Qigong or Tai Chi, you know, there are many others who can teach, but what Master Sha is doing is something phenomenal. What is very different from between him and other teachers is that he can transmit the power. He can transmit the spiritual power, and he does that very generously. If you are in a Buddhist monastery, there is one abbot, one head monk. When he dies, they elect, there is another one. When the Pope dies, they elect another Pope, and they carry the power of the lineage. But Master Sha, he doesn't keep the power for one person who will be one after him. He gives the power to anyone who is willing to serve humanity. It was many years ago he started to transmit this power of the healing hands. Just transmit power and you can heal right away. You turn on the power and it does healing. You don't need to be born as a born healer, but you receive the power, you can do the healing right away. So I remember we were that time in Australia, 2006, when we started to give this anyone who came. My mom, I phone home, how is everybody? My mom was sick. I give her a blessing, offer the healing, I send the power. Mom got better. By the time I returned, she was already okay. Totally incredible. And so this is what he does. I've seen it years, totally remarkable.
Well, you are in a very special position because you actually are the lead researcher in a study that Master Sha has asked you to initiate and facilitate. Can you tell us about that research? Because I know it's close to being ready to be published. So there's some fantastic stories in there of healing based on the healing, I call them healing resources or healing tools that Master Sha has given to people. So tell us about this research, Master Peter.
We have done actually lots of studies over the years. The first one we did with John Gray, with Master Shah, in 2000 and 2001. That's when I met Master Shah, we started to do this study, and that already showed that there is an improvement in cancer patients. And I presented the research in New York in July 2001. And so since we've done a few studies on different topics, and we did the research in, from 2013-2017. And how we do this research is quite amazing. I have to give a great credit to Master Shah for this, because not many healers are actually willing to let the student do research on them. You know, that Master Shah is actually allowing me to document and to review his cases and then say, oh, this works or it doesn't work. There are not many masters who would do that, to be open to scrutiny, like Master Shah. So this speaks for him a lot. And so what we did, we followed a cohort of the people who received the healing. And then we followed them for 3 years, from 2013-2017, 4 years. And we just got people who received the blessing from Master Shah. We connected with them. The study design was submitted to Inter-Institutional Review Board. They checked it. They said it's sound, and it was approved. You know, so I approached this research like the way if I would be doing research on the medication. You know, if I do a clinical trial in the university. So we follow the rigorous protocol, which is reviewed by the board, and they look at all what we do, and then when we have the results, we publish them. Again, we go to conference. There is a conference has their own review board. They look on the study, how it was done, and then we present it. And so we presented already on quite a few studies, conferences, I don't know. We present the different aspects of the research which we do, and I see about 6 or 7 conferences already, this latest one. And
give us some of those soul healing. I mean, I say miracles, but really they're not miracles, in that when you open to the power, it's the natural conclusion of receiving and following through and working with the meditation tools and chanting is connecting to ourselves. We see it as miracles. It should be a natural thing in our life. We should all be accessing this, and that's what the real goal is. So tell us, so how many people have you included in this study?
Initially, we had close to 100, and over the time, about half of them dropped out, which is normal. You know, the people lose interest, and in normal studies everywhere, attrition is about 50%. So we were just about there. At the end of the 4 years, we had 49 people, which is good, which is very good.
Right, to stay with that program that long is good.
Yes, they stayed with the program that long. So it means that they meditate and they had to really believe that this is working for them, otherwise they would not have done that. And they continue to send us the medical reports and our questionnaires, whatever we want to ask them. So that was nice, you know, that people, half of people had that type of dedication. So I can speak only for those who stayed with us.
Yes.
The when we look at the patients we do research, there is so-called bell curve. I don't know if you heard of bell curve. So
yes.
There is in the middle, most of the people in the cohort, they are improving sort of somewhere in the middle, and they are most of them. And then on each side of the bell, there is one part that didn't improve at all, another part that improved exceptionally. And so we had our distribution would be similar like any other research. And when we look on the old patients, there are few who died. They had a very heavy cancer, and we couldn't save them. So that is part of the EVRI research. And I would say, that was about 3 or 4 people from the 100, which we knew that died. And then we had many who really improved. And then we had a few who were totally astonishing improvements. And so I will just speak about those few that are the best examples. Yes, I was not prepared.
Yes.
So I don't have my exact numbers, how many percent and all of that.
But <okay. laughs>
I know just from my mind, I it was a very, very sound number, close to 50% that either completely resolved or market improvement. This was really dramatic from all those people. But what are the stories that are the resonating to me the most? This is the one. Because it's a story like this. The lady was in her 60s. She was diagnosed leukemia, chronic leukemia. And that illness does two things. The first, that the white cells multiply, and then they become so many, eventually they start to clog the arteries. The blood cannot flow because it becomes too thick, so many cells in it. And people get strokes and then slowly die from the cancer. And also it affects, creates antibodies against red cells. So the people become anemic. They don't have enough oxygen in the tissues, organs. And so this lady saw the Master Shah in 2013, and she started to do some meditations from him and Qigong to help herself to feel better. One day she went to bank, and she had to walk 6 blocks. And from the bank, did some banking and was returning home, but didn't feel well, become short of breath. So she went to the hospital nearby, and when they checked the blood work, she was right away admitted to ICU. Well, the blood work was something like this. Normally we have about a number different, whatever you are using, measurement scale, would be about 5 number for the blood cells, white blood cells. Well, she had 1,070. Well, I spoke with the expert in the blood illnesses, and I was told that people with that number, 1,070, they are in coma because blood is so thick, cannot flow, and brain can't function. And this woman was walking 6 blocks. And so the other thing which was even more striking was that her red cells, she had only about, we call it hematocrit. The number should be about 110, 120, even more than that. But she had only about 22. So she had so little red cells to carry oxygen to tissues, she should be in coma also from that. And she was walking around. So they kept her in the ICU for 1 week, received transfusions, and they put her on chemotherapy, which she didn't like, but they insisted. So she had to take it, otherwise, she was explained it would be lethal. And she left home after a week, But when she came home and she stopped chemotherapy, she stopped taking those pills. And instead, she started to receive healing from one of Master Shah masters like me, the master healer. And that master was tracing calligraphy for her every day, about half an hour. Well, 6 months later, she went to a doctor, and what was found in her cancer cells from 1,770 went down to about 100, around 100. It was such a dramatic drop, and without any other treatment, she didn't have a chemo, she didn't have nothing of that sort, but her cancer cells just reduced 90%. And so then she still was taking a bit of prednisone because of the antibodies, and she decided that time, because her red cells recovered, that she will stop the prednisone. And family doctor said, I don't know what you are doing, but just continue do it, and we'll see. And there we are. We are, last time I reviewed her numbers were in 2017, and still low, and red cells are good, the white cells are low. She has not been, like, I would say, completely without the cancer, but the dramatic reduction from 1,070 to 100 without any chemotherapy cannot be explained. That is simply, from medical perspective, this can't happen. And so you say it's a miracle. Well, I don't know how to call it, but it is pretty amazing to me that this can actually happen.
Master Peter, was she chanting as well? Was she using some of the healing and meditative tools from Master Shah?
Yes, she was continuing her own regime. Plus, she had this healer tracing for her. Yeah.
Right.
So she had
the people understand. So she had some of the trained master healers focusing on her, healing her remotely, as well as she was working with the chanting and meditation as well.
Correct.
Doing
that's
her
exactly
spiritual
what
work.
Happened. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
That was pretty remarkable. I mean, that is a remarkable story, that she has had such a profound turnaround of her leukemia.
Yes, and so what is remarkable is also that it is the student of Master Shah who actually helped her. You know that, as you mentioned earlier, that Master Shah is a healer, but he's not only that. He does train other healers, and he transmits the power to them, so they can continue healing. That's very beautiful, very beautiful.
So there's some other people in this study that had remarkable results by working with the spiritual tools and resources and the help of the master teachers. Can you share another healing miracle?
Yes. What comes to my mind, actually, today I was submitting the paper. We would like to go and present this to OCD conference. It will be in Texas in the summer. Hopefully we are accepted. We'll see. But anyway, so this is a story. This is a gentleman from California, and he was diagnosed OCD when he was 13 years old. And was placed on medication, and also was diagnosed that his thyroid is unbalanced. So he had to take a thyroid medication too, and was on medication for many years. And then about 14 years ago, he met Master Shah, received the blessings, healing from Master Shah, and started to meditate, started to practice these practices. He recovered very quickly, and eventually also stop all medication for his OCD and stop his medication for the thyroid. So he has been without medication, I would say, now about 10 years. I asked him, he went to see his family, his specialist doctor, 2014, was found to be complete remission. There is no OCD, there is no problem with thyroid either. That's amazing. That's an amazing story. You know, the OCD is quite debilitating illness. And also the problem with thyroid, you know, they make people very tired, exhausted, can't function well, and then other consequences. And he is now completely free of that. He doesn't take any medication, only using the methodology from Master Shah to self heal.
We have, you know, to say that someone recovering from OCD who has been medicated for many years with just practicing these specific meditations and chants and is remarkable. It's remarkable for anyone to actually be able to be considered healed of OCD.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I have to say one thing right away now, that we definitely do not advocate anyone to stop the treatment they are receiving from the medical doctors. Because spiritual healing, or Qigong energy healing, meditations, I've done research on it. There is part of the patients who could not get benefit. Most did, but there was part who didn't. And so we don't know who is going to benefit and who is not. Therefore, we need to be safe. You know, we always tell the people who are in the research, and Master Shah always tell the people whom he gives the blessing that he really recommends to continue with the treatment until there is we can absolutely safely say, and only doctor can say that, okay, you are fine, you may now stop medication. Otherwise, that would be imprudent. Sometimes illness is heavy, takes time that energy healing can work, or meditation can work, or spiritual blessing can work. So people need safely do these things. They need to continue medication and be supervised by medical doctor. And when doctor decides, okay, this is like my patient with OCD, he's in his doctor and it was decided, you know, no, we don't need any more medication, everything is normal. And trial was done without medication, everything fine, and that's it. You know, that's the right way to do it.
So you've been following these people, the people who finished the study, there were 49 people with all sorts of degrees of chronic conditions, whether it's OCD or whether it's cancers or, you know, I guess it's a wide range of health issues. And the purpose of the study is what, Master Peter? What is it that Master Shah and you want to have as an outcome? I mean, you're wanting to publish this in a recognized journal. What, for what reason? What is it you want to demonstrate?
Well, there are several reasons. The first one is, of course, like everyone else, when we do research, we want people benefit from something which has been discovered or has been developed. Yes, so Sir Fleming, he discovered penicillin, and so then they did the research to find out if it is really beneficial and if it is safe. And then it was published, now so many people benefit from having antibiotics. So the same here, we need to prove for us and also for the wider audience that this method is actually working and that it is safe and it can be used. So that's one thing. And we need to, this is what I really admire on Master Shah, that he wants to really know, is it really the fact that this works? So then I can speak to people with open heart. My methodology is useful. Is it making someone worse? If it makes someone worse, then we would need to look into it and do some changes. Well, over the years, I am with him now 19 years, I haven't seen anyone actually to have a side effect. That's remarkable. But still, we are looking at that because we want to, and if we would find some negative side effects, we would have to, with all honesty, publish that. But we didn't. And so we are looking at different things. And we are also looking at which illnesses are benefiting the most. And so then we can say, if you have this type of illness, yes, this would be working for you quite well. If you have this type of illness, you may probably expect that you need some other things also. So that's the research, you know. The research gives a quite wide range of the point of view.
You know, I have been interviewing many many interesting people on this show, and many of them, as a matter of fact, are neurosurgeons, and they are very committed to bringing into the world the spiritual component of who we are, the soul connection to who we are, to help change the paradigm, to change the paradigm of healing, change the paradigm of medicine, to bring the soul component or that soul energy dynamic into the missing pieces of the healing paradigm, because they all have had remarkable transformations for themselves and really are wanting to establish into the medical world the reality of this other piece of healing, which is so critical, which has to do with the spiritual soul level. And to me, what you're doing is helping to shift the paradigm, Master Peter. So we incorporate the spiritual as a valid piece of the healing journey, which only in our 21st century scientific world do we need to do that. It's, of course, been known for thousands and thousands of years, but that's part of what is happening in this huge paradigm shift that's occurring now when we understand ourselves and the healing process.
Yes. I have a dream. That's my other dream, you know, the big dream. I had these big dreams in my life. This has been part of us, actually, originally. The Hippocrates, who is considered father of conventional medicine that started in Europe, then came to America and spread around the world, Hippocrates, he was not only the doctor, he was also a priest. And he was priest in the temple of Asclepius on the island of Kos. His father was physician, and his father was also priest in that temple. And so was a grandfather and grand-grandfather. It was a lineage. It was lineage of physicians and priests who were offering to patient the complete picture. They treated them, they gave them the diets, they did the simple surgeries, and they did a spiritual healing on them. We forgot that. We forgot our origin. Many hospitals on this continent were started with monks. We have St. Paul's Hospital in Vancouver. We have a St. Mary Hospital, you know, but we forgot that. We see the technology, and then we forget that there is much more to our art than what we just currently are doing. Many doctors could benefit by applying the technology of Master Shah for themselves, so they can practice medicine more safely, and many patients could benefit when they could get complete picture. They could, the transplant of the heart but they can get something else which would make a big difference.
You know, that's so interesting. We always know about Hippocrates as the father of modern medicine, but it is never mentioned that he was a priest in the temple in Greece, and that he was part of a healing lineage. That seems to have gotten lost somewhere in time.
Yeah. There is one thing which remains from that. If you go to the emergency in some hospitals, you will see, or the car, you know, the ambulance, they have these staff, and there is a snake twirled around it. Maybe you saw it. Have you seen
right.
it on the doors in hospitals?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a god of medicine. It's Asclepius, the snake.
Yes.
That's what left. That is what
I know, that's all that's left. You know, yeah, that's so interesting. And I mean, we are returning to a consciousness where we understand the power that's possible, and we open our hearts, and we connect to our soul, and we understand there is another force operating in this reality of who we are, and we give it some attention. We allow our focus and awareness and our actions to receive this greater connection that we all have access to.
Yes, you are completely right. There is something in all of us which we can use and get better. There is something which we can use and make life of other people much better. We just need to learn how to do it, to put aside the prejudice, the misconceptions and fears or whatever, just use it. What Master Shah is bringing to us is quite phenomenal. And, you know, we don't have much time to speak about this. That would be another several hours, but I hope that the societies will open more and more to what Master Shah is offering. It would be to great benefit of many.
And that's what your study is going to help to do. If you can get this study actually put and published into a medical journal or a recognized journal of some sort, it's going to have a huge impact in that world. It's been demonstrated. So before we go, can you share with us a blessing? Can you share with us a chant? Can you offer us some of your wonderful spiritual gifts?
Yeah, I would be very honored. What I will share is this. The Master Shah has a wonderful song. That song came like an insight, like an inspiration, was transmitted to him from heaven already in 2005. And we are using this song to heal many people in nursing homes. We did a research study in one of the hospitals in the United States. Just singing this song, having it played in the background, many things do happen. And so I will offer you a blessing and a blessing to the all who are on the show with this song. It is called Love, Peace, and Harmony. Everyone, please open your heart and receive the blessing of love, peace, and harmony. Lula, lula, li. Lula, lula, la, li. Lula, lula, li. Lula, lula, li. Lula, alilula. I love my heart and soul. I love. harmony. Allow peace and harmony. Love you, love you, love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone who wishes to have this song, you can go to loveisharmony.org and you can download it for free. It's a gift. And you can have it played in your house, in your car, in your work. When I see my patients, it is playing all the time and makes the room so happy. This is where I end.
So that's wonderful. We'll give that website again. People just need to go to Love, Peace, Harmony, and Harmony. Is it and Harmony?
Yes, Love, Peace, Harmony. Not and, just lovepeaceharmony.org.
Okay, lovepeaceharmony.org. And
yes,
if people want to know more about the various centers that Master Shah has, including the one that you are master teacher at in Vancouver, the Soul Mind Body Healing Center, go to Dr. Shah, drsha.com, and all the centers around the world are listed there if people are interested. And the wonderful thing about what all these centers are doing is offering webcam programs, so streaming programs, so people can learn and be online, and you don't have to be in the specific location where it is being offered. So it makes these courses available to people all over the world. So lovepeaceharmony.org or drshah.com. And a Dr. and Master Peter Hudobo, thank you so much for the wonderful work you're doing, for your blessing, and for the great difference you're making in the world.
I'm very honored to come to your show. Thank you. I wish you a great success with future shows. You are doing such a wonderful work. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And to all of you listening, thank you for joining us on The Love Code. And I hope you'll be coming back every week. And remember, go to drsherylselman.com, opt in there, and you'll be sent all of these shows. So until next time, peace, love, and harmony to you, and may it fill your week. Bye for now.